Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hi, it's Kylie.
And it's Eva.
Welcome back to another episode.
How Yay, we did it. We did the intro right.
And we're so cool about it that
I just had to note it because there was like some like I was like wasn't sure if it was going to come out right. Anyway,
okay, one of these days.
How are you, my love? How are you, Kylie? What's going on?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be talking to you. As
ditto.
Always.
Ditto.
I just was up in Maine with my two kids visiting my parents for like almost 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and that was super lovely. And now we're like readjusting to being home.
How was Nick? I was actually curious. How was Nick, your partner? Was he like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
No kids. Was that better or was it worse?
I mean, I think he missed us. And also I think it was a nice chance to
like, did he clean the house while you were gone?
He's a Capricorn sun and moon, like he's never not, and we have two small, he's never not cleaning the house. Right, like that's how he relaxes. So that's which awesome. Is why I was really glad, like even though we missed him and my kids by the end like really missed him, but I was glad to give him some space to just be like, there's less work to do.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Because if there's any work to do, he will feel compelled to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was glad that he didn't, I'm glad that the house was not messy, but I was actually really glad that he didn't like polish it from top to finish.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And my kids were so cute in me and they were so happy, like sledding and playing with my family's pets and just being adorable. And
And I think it's hard because, you know, they haven't had especially Birdie, like hasn't had a chance to really be around other people, but ultimately in the pandemic, like anytime we can have like a change of pace, I think is good for our
mental
health.
Like a huge reset. And it was really like, up in Maine, my brother and sister-in-law live like on the same street as my parents, and my cousin lives with my parents. So just by default, like the pod is like a decent number of people. And so there were like six adults, and my college roommate came home with me. Mm-hmm. And so there were like all of these adults to help with the parenting. And like, there was just this very festive vibe. And it just felt so, so good just to like be in community.
I'm so happy for you. Yeah.
And watching my brother with my kids is like, my brother is just such a gentle soul, and watching him with each of my kids is like,
that's so sweet.
Yeah, he's the best. Like,
You're making me miss my nephews so much. I've been really craving wanting to make another drive down to California to hang out with the kiddo. So yeah, I don't know. It's calling me.
Yeah. It's special. It's very special. Yeah. So we're happy. Also, I was reminded that I never want to live in Maine again. I lived there for 2 years. I never want to live there again because it was 7 fucking degrees one day. Like,
my God.
No. So I love Maine so much. And when I go up in the summer, I'm always like, maybe I could live here. And then I go in the winter and I'm like, nope, never.
Hard reminder. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. So this is February and this is when winter on the East Coast starts to feel long. I know, I know the pain. I know the struggle. I'm not currently feeling it because I'm in like perfect weather, Arizona. But my heart goes out to people where it's like, there's just been like tons of snow this year, it looks like, at least according to everyone's Instagrams.
I also just think like, you know, it's been almost a year in a global pandemic, and like February is always a hard month. Like
totally. January's are kind of already okay because you're resting from the holidays, but February is like, it's like this big long hump.
February is cold, and like what? The exciting thing is President's Day. Like
I mean, I guess there's Valentine's Day, but I feel very lukewarm about Valentine's.
Oh yeah. See, I forgot to even mention that. That's how high it charts for me. Like it's just anyone out there who's like feeling like, God, why am I like so lethargic, and why am I feeling like emotional or moody or whatever? Like, I just want to remind you, it is winter in probably the hardest you know, one of the most complicated years of your whole life.
Like we're still in a pandemic. So
yep. Like exactly. We don't have a white supremacist as a president. So that's good. But, yeah. But like all the other things are still there. So like be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
I think and maybe buy one of those sun lamps.
Sun lamps. Yeah. And double down on soups.
Yeah. And tea.
Yeah.
Which it was revealed to me recently. Someone pointed out to me that my brand is that I'm always drinking tea. Like my professional brand includes how much I love tea. And I was like, oh God, that's so true.
That's good. It's good to be known for something. And I don't know. I love tea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, there could be worse things, but I was just laughing. Yeah. So speaking of personal brand, what's going on with you and your beautiful creations in the world?
So I want to hype this new thing that I'm offering. Yes. Yeah. Quietude, which I really love the name because it comes from the Maya Angelou quote, which is listen to yourself. And in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God. And I think that really sums up what this whole program is about. Like, I don't even know if I need to say anything more. Like that is the experience that I have found that we get to connect with when we sit down in stillness with ourselves. So for people who may be familiar with my work, meditation is something that I am, you know, grateful for this practice. And what I've done is I used to combine coaching and my meditation together. And so what I've done is I've separated out the meditation to be its own standalone program. So if people just want to do the meditation instead of diving into like a deeper 3-month container, now we have the option to do that. And I think what I love about it most is that the support that I'm offering is going to be through Voxer, and I love using Voxer. So for people who don't know, I think most people know, but that's I think just because of the people who I'm surrounded with. But if you don't know, Voxer is like this really fun walkie-talkie app where you can leave messages and get like a, you know, get responses, and it feels really intimate and personalized. And I wanted to be able to offer that still for people on their meditation journey of going within instead of just, I think I see a lot of programs where, you know, they'll be like, this is a self-regulated thing or a self-taught thing. You do the program, you like watch the videos, and then you do it on your own. And I wanted to have some program that was a combination of like you could do it on your own time, but also without necessarily being super committed into like one-on-one coaching. And so I think this is like the perfect combination of that. There's like a pre-recorded module for training that like really dives deep into the practice. And then when you like have questions, which you will, or if you want to just even wax poetic about spirituality, because if you listen to this podcast, you know that it's like my favorite thing to do and then learn how to implement that into your everyday life. Like Voxer will do that. This program I think is perfect for that.
I like lost my mind when I saw that you created this because I have very like specific memories of like walking. So those of you who don't know, Eva and I first met because I was a guinea pig in Eva's meditation coaching program for people who wanted to actually start a meditation practice instead of just talk about it and think about it. And I like have these very specific memories of like walking and being like, so I was meditating today and I realized I'm really angry. And I like can remember Voxering you and having these like really transformational conversations about like something significant happened to me while I was meditating. And I don't know what to do with it, but I have this woman who I can send these messages to, and then she'll send me thoughtful questions back. And
yeah.
I mean, it really changed my life. And, you know, and we also had the coaching component in it, but
But I think that you
plus
can
meditation
speak-
support is like,
yeah, it's really great combination.
Really, 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 really great.
Yeah, I'm like really excited about it. I'm like, this is smart. And I'm actually surprised I don't see more people doing it. Cause I'm like, this is just seems very logical to me. But I think you know that like, yeah, we have the coaching component, but I think that you can speak to the fact that just the Voxer support, if we're just talking about meditation, I think is actually really effective.
It's perfect.
And I think what I want to stress is that like sometimes when we're going through self-inquiry and consciousness exploration work, the missing piece is the integration. It's like we're always like consuming information, and there's like, but so many people are like, hey, but what do I do with this? And I don't want to leave people hanging. I want to be like, okay, yeah, well, I'll help you with the integration process because there is something that you can do with it, even if that means sometimes just like getting clarity for yourself. But what I love about this program is that, like, sorry, Kai, it's like you And like, so you are like the perfect, we're the perfect client for this. And since then I've realized like, I want to work with people like this. So the people who do really well in this program are people who like love going deep, want to have the intellectual conversations, want to have the emotional conversations like this. Like essentially yeah. it's like being able to be on a podcast and talking about this stuff. Like if that is you, then this program is for you. If you don't want to like, if you're like, if the thought of having to like, I don't know, dive deep, like, yeah, in the middle of your week, then it seems like daunting to you, then this program probably isn't a good fit.
Although actually I'm going to disagree with you in one way, which is that if you're someone who like meditation can feel so lonely. And sometimes like I remember Joanna Hardy talking about how like people would send her like emojis when they had meditated.
Right.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. like check, I've done it. Right. Yeah, and then yeah. like, there's something really beautiful about just like, I'm going to sit down in silence by myself in a world where I only see maybe 5 people a day. And then I'm just going to acknowledge to someone that it happened. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help make it more real.
Yeah.
Like that alone, I think is worth what you are offering. And then plus the fact that they basically can process their meditation. Yeah. Everyone go sign up for this.
Yay. Yeah. So if you're interested, you can find more information at my website at evaliao.com. And what about you, Kylie? I know you have something you're working on.
Yeah, well, I have not had individual Akashic Records readings on my available for a long time because I just had a super, super full schedule and I didn't actually have space for them and I missed them. And so I've made some changes to my schedule and now I have some spots open for individual Akashic Records readings, which I'm really, really, really happy about. So if you've felt a call to get a reading, or honestly, if you've been interested in working with me one-on-one, but you kind of want to like test the waters a little bit, if you, you know, the thing that I love to do in individual readings most of all is like, let's look at a pattern or an obstacle or a quote unquote block. And let's use the records as a place to find out like, where did this originate? You know, whether it's in this lifetime or past lifetime, like they're mirrors to each other. What is the core wounding here? And then let's bring some healing energy to that and then just excavate the whole like programming that you don't need anymore. And it's really, really radical healing that can have a really big impact. And I love, I'm honored to hold space and do this with people. So if that speaks to you, come book a session.
Yeah, I'm already thinking, like, I know a client who I think would be like really good for this. I mean, I feel like these are coveted spots, right? Because like, this isn't something that you're always going to have time to do. So if now's the time, I think if you feel
and I don't
the
know
pull,
how like, much, I don't know how long, like I'm playing with my calendar of like being able to offer these, creating enough space for writing, creating enough space for like not being kind of frazzled. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I have some open, February and through like the beginning of March. And, you know, I'm going to keep them there. I'm going to keep spots open for as long as it makes sense, but I don't know if that will be a month or if that will be like, I don't know. So yeah, if it speaks to you,
jump on it. Yeah. Cool. Wait, so how do they sign up? Is it just on your website?
It is on my website. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So let's introduce this week's guest.
Yes. okay. Maximilian Webster is someone who I have befriended on the interwebs and just was so excited to come bring on our show because he is a delightful, creative, nomadic, just psychedelic, wondrous human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good, it's hard to explain, but also that, yeah, that kind of covers it.
Yeah. and that's what this conversation is. It's like this wide ranging conversation that goes in a lot of different directions and is like really rooted in like a kind of exuberant joyfulness and also like a really deep sense of love.
Yeah. I mean, we cover a lot of ground and I think, oh, actually I wanted to remember to say this, that if you guys follow either Kylie or I on the gram, you should go check out the photo that we're using to promote this podcast too. Cause, it's an amazing picture. And I think that really says it all about Max.
Yeah. Yeah. Max's photo is great. It's just great.
I mean, it's deep, it's profound, but I also remember there's just like a lot of practical tips too about like following your authenticity. And it's always helpful to be, I think, with people who really embody that.
Yeah. So Max calls himself a psychic up-level coach and a personal brand wizard for leaders. So he's someone who's really rooted in this quantum leap in consciousness that we're experiencing and is really deeply motivated to spread faith, unity, Christ consciousness to the masses in a lighthearted and practical way. So you're going to love all of his magic, and we'll see you on the other side.
Enjoy.
Welcome to the podcast, Max.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome. I've never been on a three-way podcast before.
Oh, we're popping that three-way podcast cherry.
2021, baby. Yeah. Anything goes.
So we're going to go right to our kickoff question. Our listeners are already like, oh, this is a good one. So what is spirituality to you, and what does it mean? How does it show up in your everyday life?
I love it. I am a storyteller, so I'm just probably going to start off with my story.
Go for it.
Spirituality has been something that has always been in my life since I was a kid. I used to have dreams of, I would see things in my dreams and they would happen in the future. I was really in touch with my intuition from a young age. I remember one day walking down the street to the bus stop, and I stopped in my tracks and I looked up and I saw these geese flying overhead in a V formation. And it's like time slowed down. And I had this moment of gnosis. I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like we're all connected by this unseen force. I feel like I've been here before and I feel like I came here for a reason. Whoa. And so it was really interesting because I had like quote unquote spiritual influences were from my dad's side was, we celebrated or practiced, what do you call it? Christianity. It's like, I was like thinking like witchcraft, but practice, Christianity. We also, had on my mom's side, she was Jewish, rather. And so we had like the Hanukkah, and then we're also Native American, so we went to powwows. So for me, growing up was particularly interesting because I feel like I had a spiritual identity crisis.
Yeah.
I always resonated with God and this higher power that was like kind of running the show, so to speak. And I always had a really strong connection with Christ, like Jesus as that archetype. Mm-hmm. So my story kind of evolved. When I got into college, I started seeing the number 117 everywhere. And I'm sure you guys have your, if you don't have a spiritual awakening number, I'm sure someone listening here has a number that they see all the time everywhere. So mine was 117. And I remember just seeing it everywhere. And my human logical mind was like, what is going on? Like, how is it scientifically possible to be seeing this number all the time? So I finally caved and got on top of Google. And I was like, what does repeating number 117 mean? And it's like, you're a light worker, you're here for a reason, you have a very important life mission, and you know, start a spiritual business. And I just kind of laughed, like I was sitting on the bus one day and I was like, what the hell? Okay, of course, like this makes so much sense. So spirituality to me in a nutshell is kind of just a way of life. It's almost like being more consciously aware of like reading between the lines of what's happening around you and just seeing all the connections and the synchronicities. I believe that we're all here for a purpose, whether we live into that or just choose to go down that path or not. I think that we all have a purpose, and I think that we're all connected in some way. So yeah, that's my definition of spirituality.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Eva, do you have like repeating numbers thing? I'm curious, like what's your,
My relationship with repeating numbers is that it definitely happens. And I believe that there's something there, meaning because it always happens at significant times in my life where it'll just like, at least in relationship to business, for example, like when I'm launching something or when there's change coming or when like I can feel in my bones that like something is important, like those numbers will show up.
Yeah.
But for me, I'd also say it's more like it's fun. Like yeah. it's play and it's, I don't think like for you, I feel like that Max, it sounded like it was a very, pivotal, like sign, like in your face sign. And I think yeah. that's actually really interesting. And like really beautiful for me. I feel like it's the stuff that just like happens in the background that just makes yeah. life more fun.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It turned my world upside down.
Yeah. I was super cynical about it. Like I was like, whatever, repeating numbers. And then one day I was like, maybe I don't need to be cynical about this. And then all of a sudden I started seeing repeating numbers all the time. Like, like very intentionally was like not available to it. And when I decided like, all right, fine, I'll take science that way. And then this was like, thank God.
Isn't that so funny how you like clear something out and then you're like, oh, there it is available to you.
Yeah.
Max, I want to hear about your, what did you call it? A spiritual identity crisis. Is that what you, just about like the confluence of these different backgrounds and cultures, and ultimately how have you reconciled that now?
Totally. That's such a good question. I remember getting into middle school, they started teaching us about like mythology and all the gods and goddesses and things. And at that point, my spiritual identity crisis was just like at its peak. I came home and I vividly remember just sitting in the kitchen. I had a whiteboard and I had like a dry erase marker, and I was just like writing the different religions and like drawing the correlations between like very scientific. And I remember my dad walking.
We would have been such good friends in middle school.
It's okay, friends now.
I know.
I just love this. So it's so earnest. Like there, like there's, you know, like when there's confusion, sometimes there's also just such earnestness. Like I could just see little Max trying to like figure this out. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't interrupt. Okay, so you're at the whiteboard, you're mapping the world's religions.
Yeah, I'll never forget the look on my dad's face. It was just like, what is he doing? And I was just so into it. But, you know, it was really important for me to have that experience, I think, now looking back, because I think that there's like this underlying theme of love and a lot of the religions, and, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. So at that basic baseline, I kind of use that experience to kind of put it all together and realize like, okay, whatever is the quote unquote truth, I know it probably has something to do with loving each other. It probably has something to do with, you know, treating others, people the way you want to be treated. So that's kind of my foundational philosophies, so to speak, of how I decided to navigate my life. And after having those spiritual identity crisis, there was times where I would make bets with God, is what I would call it, like, mm-hmm. or like I'll make promises. I was like, okay, I really want this thing, so if I do this, like, will you give it to me? And I noticed that every time I would do that, I would get what I was looking for. Like, I'll kind of give up something or like decide to change a way of being or something like that. So I was just fascinated as a young child, like, okay, I really believe that if I'm just become a better person and do good onto others, then it's going to come back to me in some way. So that's really what kind of inspired me to look at my world from a more, from a different perspective than a lot of people around me. I remember at the height of my spiritual awakening experience around 2011, 2012, I started just changing who I was and what I was interested in. And, you know, I'll just be reading about some laws of spiritual success or like the power of now. And I just was beginning, this transformation was just naturally occurring. And it was really interesting at the time. I had friends and family like kind of joke with me, because growing up, I was always this like ADHD child, just couldn't sit still, was always in trouble. Then I'm over here like meditating and like, everything's good, guys. Like, don't, you know, it was like a very switch up from like partying and like drugs and just always getting in trouble to like, now I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I think that's a very familiar track, because I think it's like, I think, I don't know, I see myself in that in terms of like, I at least in the past have tended to go into things very intensely. Like I kind of go all in. So it's like with the partying, all in, and then also like once you are feel like you're taking in new information, you could easily go all in that too. Sometimes I would say even like to the extreme, like too much to the extreme for totally. Me. So it's always about finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. So when you said, talk about sort of having this spiritual, like peak spiritual awakening experience in like 2011, 2012, like what did that look like for you? Like you had these kind of psychic dreams when you were a kid. Did that kind of draw, because I know that's like a lot of the work you do now, right? Yeah. So did that kind of, those psychic gifts kind of drop off and then you had to intentionally recultivate them, or were they just like always there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's perfectly in alignment with my story. That's like what really opened my eyes, was coming back into my spiritual gifts or them just flourishing more. I had this experience where I was at a friend's house and we were smoking a joint in his basement. And I always think about this in retrospect, like as I'm telling the story, like, okay, Max, obviously you were high, so this didn't happen. But I kid you not, like I swear on my life this happened. So we were smoking a joint in his basement. And I looked over in the corner of the room. I first had this feeling like someone or something entered the room. Have you guys ever had that experience where like you feel like someone's watching you, but then you like look and then someone's staring at you down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like that. And I felt this presence come into the room. I was like, what the heck is that? And I kid you not, like I was looking over at this rope and there was this aura about it, you know, like if you're driving down the road and it's like a hot day or they have has that aura thing. So there was that around the rope and this rope fucking stood up, shook like a snake, and then fell on the ground. And I was like, I just looked at my friend. I was like, dude, like that rope just moved. And he was just so nonchalant, like barely took the joint out of his hand. He's like, yeah, dude, like spiritual just energy, bro. And I was like, what the no. Like, you don't just get to brush this off, dude.
Wait, who is your friend? I love this answer. Oh, spirits are just energy, bro. It's like he was tapped in this whole time. Oh my God.
No, apparently he was like, yeah, I know my house is haunted. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like that explains that happening. And then some other poltergeist stuff happened. But this was a really pivotal moment in my journey because I believe that this entity, this whatever the fuck it was, followed me home and was causing havoc in my own family. Like my dad always had a room that he had locked just to keep the kids out of his room, and it would just randomly unlock the lights in my bathroom at night would just turn on. I saw these blue orbs randomly just floating around my house at night, and that was like the height of when I started having these sleep paralysis experiences. So
sleep paralysis.
I like how we all just like took a deep breath right there.
Sleep paralysis. That could be a whole conversation. Can we talk about sleep paralysis? Because I don't know anything about it because I haven't had a firsthand experience, but my partner gets it regularly and they can be very intense for him. I'm curious if you, I don't know, what is your experience? And if you have experience.
No, and it's like I was like in middle school, my cousin told a story about sleep paralysis and I was like, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard. That's even now my whole body is like,
I was like, if this is like one of those Love and Light podcasts, I probably want to just avoid that conversation. But I honestly believe that like there is psychic attack in, you know, for people that have gifts and people that are developing their gifts, or they have an important life mission. There's especially like some people that I work with closely. This has been coming up a lot recently. But I had to have this experience. Let me stop talking and go back to the sleep paralysis. So for me, I honestly believe that there was like a demonic force that was just fucking with me while I was sleeping. And from what I've learned and through giving readings is these entities can kind of pinpoint your fears and like manifest those fears for you, whether in the astral realm or in your sleep state. So for me, it was like, literally I would just wake up and my body's frozen and I can't move. And there's just like this demonic arm just like pulling my leg out of the bed. And, you know, for me, that was a terrifying experience. And so I had these dreams in the past where I would see things in my dreams and that would happen. So when I was having this sleep paralysis moment, I was like, this is fucking real. Like I am in danger. So from that point on, I made the pact with myself. Like I could either just go throughout life and experience this more and just be afraid of it, or I can learn about it and figure out what's going on. So that was kind of like the catalyst in my life to start looking more into meditation, to crystals, to chakras, and really armoring myself, so to speak, spiritually, so that I can figure out what's going on. It was like almost an accidental catalyst for me becoming the spiritual dude that I am today. It's like gives readings full time now, you know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy. But that I really believe that people that have those experiences are more than likely like have a very important life purpose, or they're here to bring light into the world in a new way. And like there's some forces, if you will, that are like, no, like let's stop that, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Sorry, you I just want to make a quick comment, which is I think what's fascinating about this is like something very negative, like quote unquote, create was the catalyst to crack you open to your spiritual gifts. Like totally. Like what I'm hearing you say is it like rocked you out of neutral.
Totally.
And it's interesting because I was literally this morning in my records, like in the Akashic records, like asking questions, basically unintentionally, I was basically asking questions about like good and evil. I didn't really mean to end up there, but I was. And what came through is like, I'm not going to be able to explain it very well, but it was this idea of like the neutrality of good, like the neutrality of right and wrong in the context of the question I was asking. And so the answer was like, so you might as well choose to love yourself. And the whole message was around like, basically like, it was about kind of two people being upset at each other and each person thinking the other person is the villain. And like, but actually maybe they're both teaching each other exactly what they need to learn. And so they're both also like, they're both simultaneously the villain and the hero. And this is the moment they both need, even if they both think, oh, that person's the villain.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is really interesting is if we like kind of try to like break apart or like zoom out on this idea of good versus evil, that like something very like painful and scary is like the reason that you're like walking around like, oh, hi, I am like, you know, have all these incredible spiritual gifts and I'm going to help change people's lives. So it's wild.
Okay. But I think that's the whole game. I feel like that's like, in hindsight, you can zoom out and say, oh, I thought it was bad or quote unquote evil, but maybe it wasn't. How do you know it wasn't good? You know, like from a different perspective, you could be like, that could have also been like, I don't know, exactly. Like in some way, a divine, like, assignment that like that was a catalyst into change. Yeah. But I'm gonna go tell my partner that he has special gifts that he needs to like get on, because I feel like I tell him that all the time actually. And I think he's like kind of on board, but the spirit of the sleep paralysis thing is like,
yeah, and Max.
Yeah, well, so do you, so when you say that you, this has been coming up, do you mean like you have a lot of clients who also experience this?
Oh yeah, this definitely, it's really interesting that I have been kind of called to study like hyperdimensional interference with light workers, because I myself had, and this is probably like a whole other conversation, but I've had a false twin flame that came into my life and kind of misaligned me with my path, so to speak. I've had a lot of like demonic and really dark, scary things happen. But like you guys said, like these things, they definitely come up for a reason. And I think that the God, source, universe, whatever you want to call it, some people ask like, okay, why is evil allowed to exist? Why are these things able to happen if it's like an all loving universe, all loving God? It's like, well, it's kind of part like God, universe allows these things to happen because it's a catalyst that is going to, you know, have a ripple effect out and so, you know, support other people. So yeah, I've had a lot of experiences with people having like entity attachments that are not necessarily there to support people. You know, there are parasitic entities, people can create these with their consciousness. You know, I had a friend that he had this girl that he was messing around with and they had some scuffle and she like unintentionally like cast a spell or cast like this parasitic like entity onto his being and it was like attached to his back and he was having all these weird experiences. So I just like to be straight up with people. I do believe that evil and darkness exists, but I really believe that we have the power and the resources internally to deal with these things because we are divine sovereign beings.
So many questions.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so I want to hear more about your work, but what caught my attention was this idea of how do you unintentionally, what did you say, like throw, cast like a negative thingy onto someone?
Yeah, totally. Our consciousness is so powerful that literally the things that we think can manifest into form, whether here in the physical or in the astral realm. So it's hard to explain, but I tuned into this earlier today. I mean, not really today, a couple weeks ago, someone was asking me about hexes and curses, and I tuned into spirit. I was like, how's the best way to describe this? So a hex, a curse, black magic can be kind of likened to, let's imagine that you are a movie star, right? And you have some fans that hate you and they want to send you hate mail. So they send you this hate mail and they send you death threats. So this mail that comes to your mailbox, which is like your aura or your energy field, is delivered by the mailman, which is the laws of the universe. But this mail, because it's sent with the intention of hate and hurt and distort whatever, it has this unique energy frequency that is more like, I kind of got like a black vortexy, like, it's like the opposite of divine light. And, you know, so it has this frequency of basically like negativity, so to speak. So what can happen is these things can be sent into your field or they can be kind of targeted at you. And some people just don't have the awareness of their own energy field or their own body. You know, for me personally, when I have an attachment, I feel it very strongly on my back. And I'm like, okay, something is attached to me.
Like an energetic attachment.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So hexes and curses and black magic, they kind of look a little bit differently, but realizing that we're all magicians, we're all magic, we have the ability to kind of manifest these energies and project them out onto people, some people without even realizing it.
So in the case with the girl and this guy, was it that she verbally said something and that sort of like, that was some sort of negative energy that was stuck to him?
You know, I can't remember exactly, it was a couple of years back, but I'm pretty sure they had an argument and she, I think the core frequency that I tuned into when I tuned into that energetic like entity and helped him remove it was this energy of jealousy and anger and like wanting to see something bad happen to him.
Wow. Mm. The reason I ask is because I just want to make sure that I'm not accidentally hexing anyone.
Totally. That is such a good point. And you have to realize that we are powerful. Our words do like create. So it's not like something to be super paranoid about, but yeah, like even if you're just like looking at someone's pictures on Instagram, you're like, oh, fuck that person, you know, and not even saying anything. It's like you send that energy to them, whether they liked it or not.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you just said it's a good phrase, right? Not to be paranoid about. And I'm curious how you hold space for doing work that feels like, you know, sounds like it's kind of dark and heavy and, you know, I'm sure at times uncomfortable. And then knowing you personally, like you're pretty easygoing and like you're always laughing. And I'm just curious how you hold space for both of those things. And then how you would also like recommend to other people. Cause like, you know, I don't want someone to listen to this and then be like, oh my God, I'm terrified. Right. Like,
oh, totally, because, yeah. You know,
yeah. So I think that's such a good question. Cause I'm already like, oh my God, I'm scared. Like I'm that person. I'm like, cause I could easily get paranoid of the unseen.
So how do you hold the balance? And then also how do you recommend that other people like, you know?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It really comes down to just self-trust and faith. I think the reason why I'm so bubbling and optimistic and excited about it is because I have this knowing that everything that we experience is for our greatest and highest good. And nothing that we go through here in this realm as a soul is going to be something that's like going to take away from our soul's experience, because we're always learning, we're always growing, right? So when I have people that are coming to me and they have like an entity attachment, I'll use my friend, I'll call her Sarah, for example. She was dealing with this older woman that was just like harassing her. She would manifest in her home and just has always been a long-term attachment for her. And when she came into a session with me, I helped her realize that these attachments aren't possible if you're just maintaining your own spiritual work. If you're maintaining the upkeep of your traumas, your wounds, your fears, you know, the more that we become strong on the internal, the more confident we are, the more rooted we are in our faith with our higher power or God or source, whatever you want to call it, these things literally don't have the ability to phase you if you're like, if you have that strong aura, if you have that, if you've done that work on yourself, right? Yeah. So I'm always just encouraging people, the more that you stay aligned to your path, the more that you stay aligned to your growth and you're giving attention to these parts of yourselves that require integration, then these are not even things you have to worry about. Like now I get excited if I'm having psychic attack, or I get excited if, you know, things are happening to me, because that one tells me that I'm on the right path. And then two, it's like, wow, like God, source, universe is trusting me to help other people shift through this. Like that is something I should be celebrating and getting excited about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I love that. I love that answer. I think something that I've heard once about, I think, dark energy is that it can never be, let me see if I can get this right. It can't be created. Like you don't create it, but it can only be let in or invited. Meaning like kind of similarly to what you're saying, Max, just like, essentially, if you are also like not available for it because you're so sovereign in your like own being, then like you don't really have anything to worry about, which is pretty cool.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to just like own your sovereignty and like revoke any permission that you may have given either consciously or unconsciously or past lives. I don't want to get into it too much, but I personally did some stuff in past lives that people can consider dark or like evil or wrong, but
No, most of us have, like, let's just be real. Like we've done some shady shit in our past lives. Like exactly. This might be the one where we're like, I'm here for the ascension of humanity, but like you were definitely an asshole in a past life, like multiple times.
Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It. So sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you with my little soapbox about how we're all terrible in past lives.
No,
but like that's karma, right? Like that's what our understanding of not that I'm an expert in karma, but like that's like,
neither am I.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's just it's and I think, you know, I'm fascinated in this topic and this idea too, because you know, we think about shadow work and we think about like tending to our wounds and like the ways in which we were hurt and like shifting ourselves out of victim story. But then I feel like the second layer is like looking at the ways in which like you were the villain, right? Like, and like really taking radical responsibility for the fact that like, oh, I've been shitty before. And also knowing that like yeah, you've definitely been a villain at least once, probably like, you know, a couple dozen times in a past life. Yeah.
Totally.
So, you know, you talked about kind of like sovereign, like self-sting and self-sovereignty. Like, what is your kind of personal, I almost want to say like spiritual hygiene. Like, what is your process for like maintaining self-sovereignty?
Can you say that part one more time?
Oh yeah. What is your, like, what does it look like for you to maintain self-sovereignty? Like, what's that journey look like?
Hmm.
Or if it's more accessible to like pick a moment recently where you were like, oh, that's old programming. Bye.
No, I mean, I just, to me, when the first thing that popped into mind, I was just trying to put this into words because it's so much of a feeling and it's so much of a knowing. It's not something that I've explained to someone like out loud before, but I'm just trying to think like my sovereignty comes from surrender. Like I am kind of biased because I'm like Christian. I align and I follow with Christ. I don't consider myself religious at all, but I have a very strong connection with God and I have a very strong connection with Christ. And for me personally, my sovereignty and something that inspires me to show up as sovereign and free and confident in my purpose is just that surrender to the divine will. And I think that right there's so much freedom when you realize like, hey, like we're, as much as we create our own realities, we're also channeling something bigger through us at all times, right? So when I'm able to step out of the way and I'm able to say, hey, like, it's not about me, but it's about what's being channeled through me, that for me is just what makes me realize like, hey, in truth, I am free. In truth, I have no limitations. In truth, like, I am wealth, I'm joy, I am abundance, you know what I mean? So anything that's not in alignment with that, as soon as it comes up to me, it's like, oh, haha. That's funny. Like, I can't believe I convinced myself to believe that I was limited. You know what I mean? Or like, wow, like that really hurt. Like, I'm going to do some shadow work around that. But realizing that, hey, at the end of the day, like my natural state is presence. My natural state is receptivity and standing in my power. Like that to me is like the meat and the bones. And it comes all from my surrender to a higher power.
I'm over here like nodding. I just love this answer so much. I think, isn't that the irony or like the paradox of it all, is that actually I think people don't think about surrender necessarily when they think about sovereignty, but I actually think they are two sides of the same coin.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, because you also understand that, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Okay, I will say how I experience it is oftentimes I'm also surrendering to God, but also I'm not separate from God. So it's just like it's just all the same. I'm making circular motions with my hands, for people who can't see me, but like it's all the same. Like we're all, it's all connected. So it's this very, you know, multidimensional kind of relationship.
And like, when you think of like, you think of someone who's really magnetic, it's on one level because they don't actually give a fuck what you think about them, which is like, right, that's like the, like we are most powerful when we, I don't want to say don't care, but when we just are like
neutral,
I guess on a neutral or unattached, neutral. Or like, yeah, in surrender. And
can I add?
No, we're not allowed to anymore.
You lost your chance.
I feel like rather than, in my opinion, neutral, it'd be like this consecration of knowing, just like this knowing. I don't believe that this is my purpose. Like, I know this is my purpose, right? I don't believe that abundance is, I deserve it. I just know it, you know what I mean? So it's like, when it comes to magnetism and people embodying their soul's purpose, people embodying this energy, like on whatever the word is, it comes down to just like knowing like, hey, regardless of how I show up on the internet, regardless of how people perceive me, like my bills are going to get paid. Like I'm still going to be showing up for my mission. I'm going to still be showing up for my purpose, and fuck all that noise that tries to make you doubt yourself because you're fucking phenomenal. Right?
Yes. 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 I love it. Yeah. Just like a deep knowing that's like unshakable. Right. And you can think about how, like, sometimes I think about how there's, you know, throughout my life, there's like pockets of places where, like, I remember the point in my life where I realized like, oh, I'm a smart person. Like, and I just reached this place where I was like if someone were to like try to insult me by telling me that I'm stupid, like it just wouldn't bother me. Yeah. Right. Because like, I have this deep knowing that like, oh, I'm an intelligent person. Like, it's just part of the way my DNA is arranged or whatever. And like, I think that to me, part of like the journey is just like collecting more of these spaces in which you're like, oh, I just have this like kind of unshakable knowing. And so I don't have to worry or doubt or like waste time in the, I don't know, grasping space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Okay. I got another question for you, Max. Do you want to talk a little bit? Well, so one of the things that I know about you is that you are both a Sagittarius and a wanderer, like, right? Like you like live this, like you're someone who's always, it seems to me, like, you know, willing to pick up and like kind of be in adventure mode. And I just would love if you could speak to how that, because it feels very much to me like that's part of kind of your spiritual experience of the world. And so if you could kind of speak to the connection between, I don't know if you would call yourself a wanderer, if you'd use a different word, but like
gypsies.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I love it. I noticed that the times when I'm not traveling in my life, and I have so much Sag in my charts. Like, if you guys, and if you're not into astrology, that's cool too, because I'm not really either. I just know that Sagittarians are just known for traveling and adventure and just get up and go. And for me personally, having that awareness helped me realize that that's when I'm most tapped into my magic. And this is, I like to talk about authentic, just being authentic with your path and being authentic to who you are. For me personally, when I realized that every time I was not moving or wasn't planning for my next adventure or giving myself something to look forward to, I'm kind of stagnate in my life. And so my most recent fuck it moment was back in July 1st, 2020. And I had been staying in Silver Spring, Maryland, back on the East Coast, like my hometown, for about 6 months. And which is like, I was getting somewhere with my business, but you know, I wasn't just like living in my passion, living in my purpose. So I remember I was smoking a joint on my back porch one evening, and this voice that I'm really familiar with was like, it's time to go. And I was like, oh yeah, it's time to go. So I literally just like packed my Prius and my two dogs and threw them in the car and just like started driving towards California from Maryland. And for me,
that's
something
awesome.
That I realized in that trip was like, when I'm moving, when I'm in that adventure mode, when I have that time alone, I'm so connected to my intuition. I'm so connected to my purpose. And I have like these amazing downloads that just always come to me when I'm in that travel mode, when I'm following my highest excitement, when I'm letting go of my worries and distractions and things that are kind of like just making me stressed out. It's like, if I can just go and be in the flow, that's when I find the most inspiration. So I love that question, because for me, my business increased like my second half of the year of 2020, like 409% when I like leaned into that travel mode and just going with it. And I love it so much. And I definitely don't recommend it to everyone. Like, it's hard to just pick up and go, but for the people that have this desire to travel, this desire to just do more with their lives and be more with their lives, I think that those are definitely things that you need to pay attention to and be willing to take action on, right? We wouldn't have these big desires and these intentions if it wasn't possible, right? There's a reason why you were specifically coded for your specific desires and intentions. So if you do have that call to be a entrepreneur and travel and speak on stages, like, definitely go for it, do it. And then if you're not, like, if you just want to kind of stay at home and cultivate your home and your community, like, do that too. Like, we all have different flavors that we're here to bring to the world.
Yes. Go ahead, Eva.
I just want to hear about this trip to California. So you, first of all, I love that you have two dogs that you traveled with your two dogs. So how long did it take you to make that trip?
I went slow and steady. It took me about a week to do that first one. And I actually got to San Diego, California, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm moving here. And then it was like a day. I was like, I'm not moving here. So the voice was like, go north. And I was like, north? Like, what's up there? And it's like Seattle, Washington. So I actually went up to the Pacific Northwest for the first time in my life, and I fell in love. I ended up getting up to Portland. I had a buddy that I just met on Facebook, and he was like, come out to Hood River, which is like an hour away from Portland. And I ended up meeting him and another buddy, and we just like camped in the woods together for like a couple months. And then we found a house together, and I like moved out to Oregon for a while. And it was just like, it was so confirming, because I had just let go of like an old identity, an old group of friends from my past, like from my hometown, and like just like was in the space of creating space for the new in my life. And as soon as I made that move and I followed that intuition to go there, I met the most amazing community. I started a new podcast. I exploded my business, and eventually from that just ended up moving out to Hawaii recently.
This is amazing, because I'm like, this is all in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic. That's exactly. Amazing. So you went to, so you were there chilling in Portland for a while, or Hood River, and then so now you're in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is the dream.
Always say yes to the next venture.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love this.
I also love, like, it's so easy to think like, oh, I'll travel like once I get one big month in my business, or I'll like say yes to the adventure, or like whatever your version of the adventure is, like when fill in the blank. So it's totally easy. You could have been like, oh, well, I got to scale my business a little bit more. And like, instead you said yes to your desire and your business was like, kaboom, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about living like literally your truth. Like that felt true to you. And then the universe gave you confirmation that following what feels right to you is exactly the way to go. Because on top of being like, not being like, oh, I need to scale my business more, I feel like the other story I hear often is like, I can't do it now because I don't have X, or it's irresponsible. There's like some fear of scarcity, you know, belief there. So, I mean, I feel like you are like the model that shows like when you follow what that inner voice is saying, like there's a payoff.
Totally. And I think it always goes back to like, I think of the story that I want to tell. Like I would feel so out of integrity if I'm telling my clients, oh, follow your intuition, like follow your dreams, do these things that you want, and then me like not doing it. So part of that journey was like, I had to consciously decide like, what is the story that I want to tell 6 months from now? Who am I becoming, and how is that going to, you know, further support my mission of being a healer and a coach and a teacher? It's like, I can't just be sitting and like not doing the things that I know I should be doing, and then telling other people like, oh, you should follow your intuition. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that you're saying, like, what's the story I want to tell 6 months from now? Like, you're not saying like, what's the story I want to tell when I'm like a grandpa, right? You're like, what's the story I want to tell like in my own immediate future? And I think that there's something really, there's like a gift to yourself in that too.
So how's Hawaii going?
Oh my gosh. I'm having a good time, because I used to live in Hawaii, and the difference between my lifestyle when I lived here the first time and now is like completely different. Like I was working 2 to 3 jobs. I was on welfare, was just drinking, partying all the time. And I noticed that when I came back to Hawaii this time, after I'd worked on myself, my business, and healed my traumas and stuff, there was like this feeling of deservingness and this feeling of safety that came to me once I got here. And I was like, wow, like I actually feel like I deserve this. I actually feel like I'm allowed to have this. And it's something that I didn't even realize was kind of those stories and those beliefs about my potential and what I was capable of back in only like 2014 to 2018. So much changed since then. And it's really inspired me to look at, okay, what is my life like now? And like, what's something completely unreasonable that I'm going to do to accelerate my growth, right? So once I got here, after my birthday and December 13th, I actually started this like personal challenge with myself to stop reaching out to people, like only to connect with people and only to talk to people that were showing me that they wanted me in their life, that they want like to have this exchange. And that was partially because I come from a background of codependency. I come from a background of like overextending myself and just always being that person that's helping people, always being that person to go to. And, you know, I had to take my own advice and put my self-love and my sovereignty, so to speak, I had to take it more seriously. So since I've been here, it's been really interesting just watching how my boundaries have become stronger, and that's reflected in my business. You know, I'm just I'm taking myself more seriously. I'm putting self-love and my inner healing journey at the top of my to-do list, and it's just expanding out into all areas of my life.
This is seriously making me so giddy. I feel like, and maybe there's, maybe I feel like there's like a divine appointment here, because I feel like these are all things that are resonating with me so hard right now. Yeah. Because I think something that I also want to like the listeners to know is that people are always thinking like, you know, it's, you get quote what you want, or you get success quote unquote from action. But I'm always trying to like exemplify that it's never from action, it's from your beingness. It's your being here. It's like that's the core, because and when your beingness is in a clear place, everything else follows suit. Like all the outside stuff just like sort of works out. So I think what you're saying is so powerful, because you're saying like you're not even reaching out to people, and yet things were then being, you were like, but yet you were attracting like all still good things into your life. And that's, yeah, I just, the whole codependency thing that you're talking about, like, I totally relate to that. I think I have, I also had that story, and boundaries are so important. So, I don't know. I'm just like getting all excited about all of this.
I'm always here for a juicy breaking codependency conversation.
Oh my gosh. Can we do a whole other podcast just on that?
Yes. Yes. Like its own like multi-series part
and boundaries. So I think, wait, what's my question with that? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just, to me, it sounds just like more proof of the universe supporting you when you're doing what you're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always felt like you're someone who kind of says yes, or was that its own, like, because I feel like what I'm hearing you saying is like, you know, hearing the voice of like, it's time to drive across the country, or like, it's time to like, you know, make some shifts in how you reach out versus are reached out to, and all of these pieces, like, it seems like a series of saying yes. And I guess I'm wondering if that's always been kind of how you operate, or if there was a moment where you were like, oh my god, I've never said, I think you could get the gist of my question.
Yeah, totally. I love it. I love that question, because it's always been a journey of saying yes but also saying no. And my biggest no moment was back in 2014, when I was at this place where I was a lifeguard. I had a very nice job. I was moving up the ladder. I was about to go to a really nice school in Maryland to get my bachelor's degree, and something inside me was like, no, like, fuck that, dude. Like, you don't want to go and like become a psychologist and just like go in school and do all these things. Like, you actually want to be your own boss. You want to travel. Like, so when I said no to that, it was like saying yes to that adventure, saying yes to that first trip to Hawaii. And that moment is something that always encourages me when I'm looking at my current situation and looking at my current life and kind of self-auditing. It's like, first and foremost, what do I need to let go of? And what do I need to say no to? Because that is half the magic right there, right? Like, sometimes abundance, blessings, money is trying to get to us, but we're still operating from a place of scarcity. We're still operating from those stories of lack. We're still operating from those outdated beliefs about ourselves and our potential. So it's very much saying like, no, like, I'm done with that, but also yes to what is already mine and what is already trying to come to me.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Or no.
Exactly.
So you sound like someone who's very in tune and connected, and, you know, do you the work of following your inner knowing and your inner voice? Are there times where you still find yourself, where you struggle with that, where it's not clear, or maybe, I mean, Tylee and I joke about this all the time. We'll get the voice where it's like, you really shouldn't be on your phone anymore. And we're like, uh-huh, yeah, I hear you. And then you keep scrolling for the next hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
Totally. That's a great example, because I do that. Yeah. But I'd say my biggest challenge right now, just like vulnerable human moment, it's like, for me, those moments of like trusting my intuition are normally, I have the biggest struggle around people. Like, I'm the type of person that wants to give people multiple chances. I'm the type of person that kind of fantasizes how relationships will go and like wants to see the best in people. Cause I truly do, like, as an intuitive, as an empath, I see people to their full extent, right? But in the human world, people give me examples like, oh, like, I should not be spending time around this person, or I should like let this relationship go or give some space to this. And there's always that knowing that comes before, like, oh, like, this person's going to leave your life, whether you like it or not. Like, might as well like prepare yourself. I'm like, no, like, I'm gonna keep trying, but that's what I'm saying. So, and I think it goes back to, like I talked about before, that codependency. That's definitely one of my core wounds in this lifetime that I'm always circling back to. But I think that through those experiences and realizing that, hey, I'm not perfect, it's opened up this space of compassion for myself and where I am on my journey. And I think that's the one thing that always keeps me in high spirits and helps me kind of stay on my path, is realizing that if I do fall off or I don't listen, like, a path is always there. Like, there's always the next exit, and it always comes through presence. It always comes through compassion. It always comes through like, hey, I might've fucked up or didn't do what I knew I should have done. Like, but I have another opportunity to prove myself, and not prove myself, but prove myself to myself, because what it comes down to is a journey of self-trust. It's like trusting that I'm going to do the best for myself. And I think like 80% of the time, almost 85% of the time, I do what's best for me. And that 15%, like, I'm 27 years old. I have the rest of my life to figure that shit out.
Yeah, you got time. I love that so much, because first of all, like, thank you for just being so transparent, because I think I also want our audience to hear that is like, you can be someone who's like totally tapped in and yeah. also like, does you still fuck up sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, like there's no yeah. end moment where you like get it all right. Like we know this, but also what I have found so much is that like, when you get sucked into the shame of like, oh, I didn't do this right. You're just stuck in that loop of yeah. you're in that same vortex. You're like in that matrix totally. And then you don't get out. But like the yeah. thing about the present moment is like, in literally, I love that your analogy, like there's always an exit. And like yeah. the present moment is the exit. And every, yeah. literally every millisecond, any millisecond you want, it's like, nope, okay, I can get out now. I can get out now. Like you all, it's like the present comes in and meets you. And it's like yeah. any moment you can make a change. And so I think it's yeah. helpful to remember, because then it's like, don't get caught in that loop. Just remember you're in the wrong loop. You just need to like make the exit. Mm. That beautiful. Anytime you want to.
I love that yeah. so much.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm hearing you say is like, the key is like compassion, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can get intuitive knowing, or we could not, in either, however it is, we could end up making decisions or have things happen that we think we've screwed up or whatever. But the judgment that we layer on top is never helpful. Like it's always the thing that yeah, reinforces. Feeds it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like perpetuating that problem. That's why I think totally. The loop thing is like a really good
yeah. visual. So I think you could also, using the exit, like I think compassion is also its own exit, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, it just breaks the cycle, right? So if totally. You're used to being like, you know, kind of like the, like a codependent spiral or like a, you know, judgment cycle or whatever. And instead you're like, huh, what if I was like really nice to myself about this pattern? All of a sudden it's like short circuits the whole thing.
Totally, totally.
And you know, so here's another question for you. Actually, speaking of kind of short circuiting patterns, because I know you and I've talked about this before, like kind of, you know, kind of reprogramming some of our core wounding is something I know you're really, we share like an interest in this. So what is your like, process look like for this? Because I think this is an interesting, right? Like it's a topic we talk about a lot in personal development, is like reprogram your core wounds, like shift your limiting beliefs. But I always am interested in the ways in which people go about this work, because there's lots of different approaches and flavors.
Yeah for me personally, and the kind of technique that I teach, or my teaching that I give to my clients, it's like it's gonna show up. Like your shadows, your wounds, they're gonna show up. And the fastest way to like identify which ones are still lingering and which ones you need to work on are when you're up leveling, when you're deciding or making that decision in your life, like, oh, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be something different. I'm going to try something different. It's like, oh, here comes that voice or that incident from middle school when your dad told you you can't fucking wear those spandex pants. And so, you know what I mean? So I think for me personally, when that comes up, that process is just having that awareness, like, okay, now I'm trying to go after, you know, this next up level in my business, but I feel that constriction in my body of like my worth, and like I don't believe I can make over XK amount a month. You know what I mean? It's like, where is that coming from? Really tuning into your body and feeling where this disharmony, this resistance is coming from, because we're so tapped into our intuition, we're so tapped into our souls. It's like we can instantly, like Eagle was saying, like we have that gift of presence, we have that gift of just being in the now. And I feel like our higher self, God, source, your soul will happily tell you where these kind of resistances are showing up, because what happens when you move through these things, you're not only cultivating the sense of peace and confidence and trust for yourself, but you're also kind of providing a ripple effect for everyone that's witnessing you, like, hey, like that work is possible. So I think that this work that we're doing and that we're talking about is so much more than just trying to make our lives better or travel or live our best lives and expand our businesses. When it comes down to it, the reason why I'm so passionate about this work is because the more that we work on ourselves and we break those circuits, break those links that you're talking about, that's really how we're going to change the world. That's where we can teach this to our children. We can self-regulate and teach this to our communities and our friends. And if we have a society or a generation of people that are just more in tune with their traumas and their wounds and their triggers, it's like, hey, like at a point, eventually in my perfect world, like if we all took 15 minutes a day to like just self-regulate, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't have these like fighting over resources, because we would all be connected with our divinity. We'd all be connected to this knowing, like, hey, everything's okay. You know what I mean? But all these things that are happening on like the symptoms of our disharmony within, that's why there's so much chaos and strife in the world, because like people aren't healing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I want to be mindful of time, because I know you said, we want to be mindful of the 60 minute mark. Should we do our should we do our joy? Is it time?
I feel like one more question. This moment where you just ended us on, which is like how our inner strife is like causing all this scarcity and trauma and pain in the world, is like, I can't think of a better point to end on. So I think we should go to joy.
I agree.
Yeah. So Max, what is something that's bringing you joy right now?
Honestly, this stuff like this, like conversations with people that I've never met in the physical. I am just so excited about, like, you know, people talk about social media and like how it's so bad, and but I'm like, oh my God, if it wasn't for social media, I would literally not have the life that I have right now. Like, I talk to the coolest motherfuckers every day and I just have this such amazing community where I can come out and I can show all of me. I can wave my freak flag and you guys are just like, that brings me joy in like this validating kind of way. But it's almost like it's also brings me joy because I feel like the first 20 years of my life, I was ignoring my inner child. I was experiencing anxiety and depression and not showing up as who I truly was because I wasn't saying yes to my inner child. And now that I've prioritized my inner healing and I've prioritized my spiritual growth, it's like things are just more fun.
Yeah. I love that. And I think people like, in case people forget, cause I think sometimes people forget that like this work is fun. Like spiritual work is fun. Like it's not, it adds levity. It's like clear seeing, once you see things clearly, it's not so serious. Like not in life isn't so serious.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And it comes through all the time. Like I literally it was just talking to me the other day, like Archangel Michael, like loves dad jokes. Like, you know, like we just take this stuff so seriously. And when we actually are like connected, like, you know, our guides, our ancestors, like divinity, like the energy of it is a lot lighter than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, than our minds make it, I feel like. All right, Kylie, what's something that's bringing you joy right now?
I was going to make you go first and buy the time to come up with my answer.
I can go because I have.
Okay. Yeah. You go.
Okay. I will go because I have two sort of ready to go. One is, I've been watching Our Planet. Do you guys know it's like the newer version of Planet Earth? And I don't know, or wait, is that what the first version's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the nature documentary. Netflix, right?
Yeah. The Netflix thing. And like, so I don't know why it's taking me so long to watch this, because I usually love this stuff, but I just didn't watch it. And I've been watching a couple episodes the past week or so. And God, like, it just reminds me of how miraculous life truly is. And like, you can learn so much from observing animals and nature, and we are nature and we are animals. And it's like, oftentimes intellectually, I'll be like, yeah, I know this. But then watching something like this on Netflix just reconnects me to it in like this childlike way, where I'm like, oh my God, this whole world is truly just miraculous. And like, it's under like light, the like death is okay. Like the cycles of life and death are part of it. It's in the animal world. There are hunters in the animal world who it's like, it's all like part of life. And I feel like that's, I don't know, I find so much solace in that. And then today in Phoenix, Arizona, it rained for the first time, I think, like in a year. Ooh. And we've just been like desperate for water in this desert. And I was like outside doing like a dance, cause I was just like so excited and just thinking about going back to like, our planet, thinking about how everything's connected, and now because there's this rain, there's going to be more growth, and like it'll sustain the animals. And I was really happy about it. So if you haven't watched Our Planet yet, people, you're in for a treat. I highly suggest it.
I'm like cracking up over here because I watched that on mushrooms like last year.
Oh my God.
So like, intense.
Watching that kind of shit on mushrooms is like my favorite thing. Like that's what I used to do with Planet Earth, and it was like, yeah, so it's amazing. Intense. It's mind blowing. Oh, you're like,
it's crazy. It's like, wow.
I think that's probably like the best way to watch it. But so good for you.
So not on mushrooms, but I have been watching nature documentaries with my 4-year-old son, which is its own form of delight. And just actually yesterday we were watching, and it was like the blue whales swim so deep. And then for whatever reason, anyway, when blue whales are down, or sperm whales are really deep, they don't poop until they come up to the top of the water. And Desi was like, so then they're like, you're seeing them poop. And Desi's like, what is all that stuff? And I was like, it's whale poop. Oh my God. Nothing is funnier to a 4-year-old than being like, we're watching a movie about whale poop. He was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
See, that's awesome. I also like love being able to see stuff through that, like through a child's eyes. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, kids, yeah. Kids are their own like special type of medicine as well.
God, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. Aside from whale poop, what is bringing me joy right now? Can I also give a TV answer?
Of course.
Go for it. So we just started watching WandaVision on Disney Plus. Have any of you guys watched this?
Yeah, I've watched it.
I haven't seen it. I was just telling Adam that this has got to be our new watch because I really want to see it.
Yeah, I'm like so intrigued by it. So first of all, the first two episodes like take place in like a Dick Van Dyke era TV. And like I grew up watching Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke, I Love Lucy. Mm-hmm. So it's like so, and Bewitched, I Dream a Genie, like all of those old yes. shows. And love so it. Like I just was like having such lovely nostalgia. But it's also like weird and it's kind of a mystery and... It's not like any other show that I've ever watched. It's so yeah. fun. I'm obsessed.
Okay, good, yeah. good.
So now we got ice cream delivered to our house and we're watching WandaVision. And love that it. Was really, that brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah, love winning it. The game. Sounds like yeah. winning the game.
I also like to point out that Max is like, oh, having like spiritually enlightened friendships. And Eve and I are like, so TV.
TV. Hey, no shade. Because I think, I mean, come on, 2020, in 2020 anyway, I think TV really came in and...
Yeah,
was crucial at some parts.
Absolutely.
Dude, I was gonna say that's been a recent development for me too. Just like taking the spirit's been like chill out, like your sacral's on fire. You've been creating like crazy. Like sit down and relax. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna give myself permission to watch like Netflix and Hulu for a weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did all last weekend. I was like binged, and it was so great.
Yeah, so great.
Yeah. So okay, Max. All the people who are super compelled by what all your particular magic and want to come work with you, how can they find you? How can they work with you? And what you know, if you have anything in particular that you're cooking up right now.
Cool. Actually, I did think of something, but it's like not like a paid thing. But I am best reached on Facebook right now, Maximilian Webster. Also on Instagram at Maximilian, MAXIMILIAN _ Webster like the dictionary. And something that I'm cooking up right now is actually a really powerful group container. It's actually going to be a free group that we're going to be transferring off of Facebook onto a Telegram channel. I've just been really feeling called by spirit to create more conscious communities. I have this architect soul frequency where I like to create containers and experiences. So this group is going to be for those healers, coaches, spiritual influencers who are like building businesses that are not afraid that they're like going towards millions and billions, like that kind of vibe. But also like I believe that we need like more safe spaces to have these conversations that are kind of like against the grain. Like, yes, we can be confident and share our truths on Facebook for the world to see, but also it's cool to have like a tight knit group of exclusive like people that are on the same wavelength so that we can pool resources. We can talk to each other. So we're going to be doing kind of like a clubhouse-esque vibe over there. We're going to be having monthly kind of group discussions and then themes of the month ranging from like God and manifestation, sales and marketing, intuitive development, all kinds of things that basically you would probably be interested in learning about. The one thing that I would like to add about this group though is everyone has to bring something to the table. So it's not one of those groups where like we're just gonna come in and like sell you on a bunch of shit. No, it's gonna be me and like seven other leaders who are bringing some particular magic from their field. And we're all gonna be sharing our resources, sharing our training, our knowledge, and ultimately taking this community off of Facebook onto a Telegram channel. Because I know like there's a lot of people making that shift off of social media due to the censorship and all that good stuff. So I just felt called to create it and it's coming, baby, February. So you can find that on Facebook. It's gonna be coming out soon.
Awesome. That sounds super cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys having me.